Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrī Bhakti Vedanta ki, Garantara Jishima Bhagavatam ki, Girira Maharaja ki, and Gopremananda.
So tonight we'll continue reading from chapter 22, verses 18, and we'll finish the chapter. How Bali Maharaj is surrendering his life to Lord Vamanadev. Okay, so verse number 18. Shukadev Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, Lord Brahma then began to speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within the hearing of Prahlad Maharaj, who stood nearby with folded hands. But Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and aggrieved at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamanadev Upendra. She folded her hands and spoke as follows. Jagan.
Although Lord Brahma was speaking, he had to stop for a while because Bali Maharaj's wife, Vidyavali, who was very agitated and afraid, wanted to say something.
Any points?
So everybody tastes right.
Yeah, powerful.
In Vedic civilization, women were also given preferences and their emotions were given preferences.
Any other points?
She is a very intelligent lady and very devoted. Extraordinary. Women had to stop for her to say something incredible.
Good. Any other points?
She was very advanced, spiritually.
Pure devotee.
Good.
So, Srila Prabhupada has explained that chastity is one of the principal qualities of womanhood. So when the woman is chaste, she becomes extremely powerful. So we see that the wife of Bali Maharaj, because of her chastity, even Lord Brahma, who is the topmost person in the universe, has stopped in order to allow her to speak. So that is the potency of chastity. Prabhupada gives an example. He said that there was one woman who he observed when he was a grihastha, and she was just a cleaning lady. So in India, not considered to be a very high-class person, just ordinary person. And then there were a group of men, and they were talking. And then she needed to pass through where they were. And just by her body language, because she was extremely chaste, then all the men, they immediately stopped what they were saying and they moved and they allowed her to go through. Even though she was considered maybe not to be on a very high class level according to the Indian standard. But because of the power of her chastity, Prabhupada said this is the power of chastity of a woman. You know, when a woman is very chaste, she has extreme potency. So we see that Bali Maharaj's wife, now because of her chastity, because of her potency, it says in the previous verses that she would normally not even come out of the palace, you know, because she was so chaste and powerful. But because Vamanadeva is there and Bali Maharaj has been arrested, she has come out. But with her great power, her great potency, then she has, even Lord Brahma, he is seen. As a cultured gentleman, Lord Brahma is a very highly advanced personality. He sees, because of her chastity, then he stops, he sees that she wants to speak something, and he allows her to speak. So it's a cultured civilization, where men respect women and women respect men. So that is the potency of this situation. So Prabhupada says chastity is one of the main features of womanhood. When the women are chaste, they have extreme potency and power. minds. Any points?
You don't think that was Sati Savitri?
She was very devoted to her husband. He was going to die, but she even followed him in the Buddha's. And ultimately, they had to give up.
She would even prevent the death of the husband.
Yeah.
By his sister.
So powerful. Yeah, I mean, there's that example, maybe the same example where the woman says, then, if my husband does not come back by tomorrow from Yamaraj, then the sun will not rise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So she stops the sun itself from rising in the morning just by her potency. It might be the same example. Some example is there. Where the woman was so powerful, by her chastity of devotion to her husband, she stopped the sun from rising. And she made the gods themselves have to change the arrangements which they had made. So that's the potency. So Prabhupada's point, there are many examples in the Vedic literature of the potency of a chaste woman. Okay. Srimati Vindhyavali said, O my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes, but foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics, falsely claiming proprietorship. They think that they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
Dharmara's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband and accused him of having no intelligence because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. Such a claim is a sign of a demonic life. Although the demigods who are officially appointed by the Lord for management are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be proprietors of the universe. For they know that the actual proprietor of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the qualification of the demigods. But the demons, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim the property of the universe for themselves. Therefore, through demarcations of nationalism, this part is mine and that part is yours. They say, this part I can give in charity, and this part I can keep for my enjoyment. These are all demonic conceptions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 16.13. Idam adhyaya maya labdha imam prapasya manoratam. Thus far, I have acquired so much money and land. Now I have to add more and more. In this way, I shall be the greatest proprietor of everything. Who can compete with me? These are all demonic conceptions.
That's good. So what are the points so far?
Those who claim the proprietorship of anything in this world, they are demons. And those who accept Lord as the proprietor, they are the demons.
Good. Any other point?
Yeah. Although demigods are attached to material enjoyment, but they never claim proprietorship because they know Lord Krishna is the proprietor for everyone.
How is that? Is that practically possible that one thinks that he is not proprietor but still he enjoys, tries to do it? Is it not interlinked?
What is the point?
No, without thinking that one is a proprietor, is it possible to enjoy?
Yeah, Ishraham Maham Bogi. So unless you think you're the proprietor or the controller, then you can't enjoy Bogi. It's the same consciousness.
Yeah, but here it is said that demigods don't think themselves as proprietor, but still they enjoy.
No, they think they're the proprietor, otherwise they can't be in that spirit of false enjoyment. So it has to be there. Anything else? So this is the demoniac state of consciousness, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are demoniac, they have that spirit. Nishraham, aham bhogi, siddoham balavan suki. They are thinking that we are the enjoyer, we are the controller. So although Bali Maharaj's wife is born, Vindhyavali, is born within a demoniac family like Bali Maharaj, but they don't have that consciousness. They don't think that everything is meant for their enjoyment. So we see in this whole pastime, as the chapters have gone by, we see that the demons are very upset because they feel like they are losing the kingdom. That is demoniac consciousness. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And they think without that kind of material facility, they cannot enjoy life. But Vindhyavali and Bali Maharaj, they don't have that spirit, that consciousness. Although they have control of the universe, but they do not think the universe is for their enjoyment. That is not their consciousness. Their consciousness is that we are simply the servants of
Lord
Vamanadeva, Lord Krishna. So they do not claim proprietorship. So that is that is how we judge a devotee. Not which family the devotee is born in. Because Haridas Thakur explains this in the Harinam Chintamani. It is an aparad or an offense to think, oh, this devotee is born in this family, so he must be a good devotee. This devotee is born in apparently a lesser situation materially, so he is not such a good devotee. So Bali Maharaj and Vindhyavali, even though they're born within the Asuric dynasty, but still they do not have that consciousness. They do not think that we are the enjoyers. They simply, they're devotees. And their grandfather is Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is standing there with folded hands. He has appeared on the scene. And I was hearing during the week some description where Lord Nisringadev was speaking. And Lord Nisringadev says that practically Prahlad Maharaj is none different from him. Prahlad Maharaj has so much devotion to Nisringadev, he's practically as powerful as Lord Nisringadev. So Lord Nisringadev is saying that Prahlad Maharaj can purify the world practically as much as Nisringadev himself. That is his potency. So we don't judge a devotee which family is born in or what his material situation is, but the devotee is recognized by his bhakti, his devotion. And that's the principle of Krishna consciousness, which is taught by Lord Chaitanya, which is taught by Sanatana Goswami. And therefore, we understand, regardless of which family the devotee is in, if they're performing devotional service, they are accepted as being saintly. Because the potency of devotional service is that no matter what background we come from, if we engage in devotional service, we become purified. And we're considered to be Krishna's devotees. Any points?
One more point to the Prabhupada is telling this Prabhupada in the beginning that she is supporting the arrest of her husband because she is accusing him. He was thinking he was proprietor. There's another good point that she's so intelligent, she doesn't mind even criticizing the husband.
I see I have a doubt. Like a dharma sankat here, right? The dharma of a wife is to support husband. Right? The other dharma, the other side of dharma which Vindhyavali is supporting is actually accusing Bali Maharaj arrest, right? So what should be the stand of a wife in this kind of situation practically? When there are two in a practical situation where she needs to support husband, on the other hand, the other side of part is also there. Husband is not doing the right thing, so something like that. In a practical situation, if this kind of dharma sankat is happening, so she should stand in her husband's side or the other. I cannot come out with the practical situation though exactly, but see.
Yeah, well, it means that the final authority for a devotee, because we're not following the path of Dharma, but we're following the path of Bhakti. Because there are four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha. But the fifth Purusharthas is Bhakti. So we're following the devotional path, the Bhagavad Dharma, as opposed to the Varnashrama Dharma. So in the Varnashrama Dharma, the woman's duty will be to be very faithful to the husband, almost blindly, in the traditional Vedic sense. But in the Bhagavad Dharma, or in Sanatana Dharma, then the highest principle is to surrender to Guru and Krishna. So that is the highest principle. So for a devotee, we make our judgment based upon, is this pleasing to Guru, is this pleasing to Krishna? So you follow the husband, but if the husband is not following properly, then you should reject the husband and you follow Guru and Krishna. That's the system. Same as what Bali Maharaj did. He rejected his guru and followed Vamanadeva. Any point?
Okay. She was praying to the, she was saying that you did the right thing by
asking.
Because it's always good to speak the truth. And unless you speak the truth, the lady speaks the truth. You know, sometimes anybody can do the wrong thing. So unless she speaks the truth, then husband can't be corrected.
That's good. Okay.
The other thing is that they know the servants. They enjoy all the things that the king enjoys. But they don't think that they are the proprietors. They still give respect to the king. And they think it is all his. And they are thankful to him. So that's what we should do.
Okay. Nila Gopa, you'd like to read the next paragraph?
Bali Maharaj's wife accused Bali Maharaj by saying that although the Supreme Personality Godhead had arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, and although Bali Maharaj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the Lord's doorstep, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, the body did not belong to him, but because of his long-standing demonic mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise of charity, and since the body belonged to him, he would free himself from defamation by offering his body. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom the body is given, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61.
Yeah.
Ishura Sarva Bhutana Pradesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantradhani Maya. The Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart. And according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of mission, the body, through the agency of the material energy. The body actually does not belong to the living entity, it belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstances, how could Bali Maharaj claim that the body belongs to him?
So what are the points in this?
She is coming out of the mistake of Bali Maharaj. That he was thinking that this is his body. Therefore he told the Lord that put my third steps on my head. She is correcting.
Actually, on the place,
because the body belongs to Krishna, not to any particular person.
What I am just thinking that even the steps, the three steps which the Lord asked him, even that, the land doesn't belong to him. So,
So actually, Bali Maharaj is not bewildered because he is a pure devotee, pure Vaishnava. She is instructing for our benefit. Just like Arjuna is not bewildered in the Bhagavad Gita, but for our benefit, Krishna arranges the situation so that we can be instructed. So Bali Maharaj is not ignorant. He understands everything belongs to the Lord. So he's not in ignorance about the situation. But it's a very difficult situation that he's in. And devotees, we sometimes find ourselves in very difficult situations. Just like Bali Maharaj, the situation is extremely difficult, but he passes the test. How does he pass the test? And he stays surrendered to Krishna under all circumstances. So that is the same test for all of us. All of us have to remain surrendered to Krishna under every circumstance. Because life always becomes difficult for all of us, as we all know. We go through so many tests. But the test of the devotee is he does not reject Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, glorious is the devotee who does not reject his Lord, and glorious is the Lord who does not reject his devotee. So that is the test for the devotee. Under all circumstances, he just simply continues to surrender to Krishna. And he knows that Krishna will maintain him, because that is Krishna's situation. He's always maintaining his devotee. So all of us will go through the difficulty. Bali Maharaj is going through the difficulty, but he does not forget his primary duty. Like that. And actually, he's not in ignorance. He's not actually, he's not an ordinary soul like us. Like that. He understands fully that everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Any points? Raj, you want to read the next paragraph?
Thus, Vindhyavati, Bali Maharaj's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released by the causeless mercy, by the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Bali Maharaj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Vakta Priyastar Avaropita Kartar Varda. A foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of the Supreme Person. In the present age, Kali Yuga, the number of such shameless men who are agnostics, disbelieving in the existence of God, had increased, trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So-called scientists, philosophers and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. They cannot do anything good for the world, and unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. Thus, there is a great need for the Krishna conscious movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by propaganda of such demons. If the present status quo is allowed to continue, people will certainly suffer more and more under the leadership of these demonic agnostics.
Any points?
Very powerful.
The emphasis of our leaders being pious, and we can see the current Prime Minister of India, when he went to meet the President, King of Japan, and he went to meet the President of China, he gave them Bhagavad Gita in Japanese and Chinese language, and told them that this is the topmost thing I'm given, which is the most important thing for me. And he gave them that. So we can see we need some leaders like them, and at least at that level, if they can preach.
He's an ISKCON devotee.
He's very favorable. He's not ISKCON devotee, but he's very favorable.
Very favorable. Mm. One more thing on the same point. He told, somebody said that you are the Prime Minister now. He said, no, I'm the servant of all of you. Mm. I'm not the Prime Minister. Very boldly he said.
Any other points?
Should we blame the mentality of the people, or is it the Kali Yuga?
No, it's both things, because everyone has a choice whether or not to follow. Kali Yuga is difficult, but we have a choice whether or not to cooperate with Kali Yuga.
Very difficult.
It is difficult, yeah. It's difficult, but we always have a choice, because we all chose not to follow.
Yeah.
So, Prabhupada is speaking about the situation in Kali Yuga because the nature of everyone in Kali Yuga is they follow the demoniac mentality of life. Now, Vindhyavali is praying that release Bali Maharaj, be merciful upon him. But as we said, Bali Maharaj is a great Vaishnavi. Vaishnava. She knows that he is a great devotee. But then she's saying, you know, these circumstances have taken place, so therefore show mercy to Bali Maharaj. He's born in the demoniac family. So in Kali Yuga, practically everyone is in the demoniac situation. We are all born in low situations, and we're all contaminated by the influence of this age. So as Prabhupada says, the only hope for this age is to be uplifted by the Krishna consciousness movement. Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. In Kali Yuga, the only hope or the incarnation of Krishna in this age is the holy name of Krishna. So Krishna appears in the form of the Sankirtan movement to purify the consciousness of the living entities. So Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Kale Dosha Nite Rajan Astiheko Mahanguna. It is an ocean of faults, but there's one good quality, Krishna Kirtan. And by the potency of the holy name of Krishna, everything can become purified, everything can become uplifted. So that is the potency of the Yuga Dharma in Kali Yuga. So although everyone is demoniac in Kali Yuga, and there is a great, it is an ocean of faults, and there's a great amount of contamination, but everything can become purified by chanting of the holy name. And we see that the citizens are dissatisfied. Just like yesterday, they had that big rally all around the world. You heard about it? For the climate change. In New York, they had 300,000 people march on the streets to demand the governments to stop the climate change. And also here in Melbourne, we had 30,000 people yesterday in Melbourne. 30,000 people came. Did any devotees go? But so many people are protesting because they don't want the government to manipulate the planet, and they don't want the earth to be demoniacally controlled. So the citizens, many people, they're very intelligent. They understand we have to try to do something. So they're making protests, strong protests against the governments to stop this demoniac. So ultimately, the only solution is everyone chants the holy name. And that will finally purify the consciousness of everyone. Then everyone can act in a very sattvic way, and the world can become peaceful once again. Any points?
When did Prahlad Maharaj appear in that scene?
When did he appear? When we read before he came, when Bali Maharaj became tied up.
And then he appeared.
Yeah. If you go back, it's either earlier in this chapter or in the previous chapter then. Any other points? Okay.
He also glorified Bali Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj also glorified Lord Ramji. Instead of saying why he has been arrested, he said, you have done the right thing, Lord, by arresting.
Yeah. Okay. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished, for you have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. So, Mahatma Prabhu, you like to read?
When Lord Brahma saw that Prahlad Maharaj and Vrindavan had already approached the Lord to ask mercy for Bali Maharaj, he joined them and recommended Bali Maharaj release on the grounds of early calculations.
So this is the intercession which is necessary for every devotee. We can only be accepted by Krishna when the devotees intercede on our behalf and pray on our behalf. So Bali Maharaj is protected because Prahlad Maharaj, Vindhyavali, his wife who is a pure devotee, Lord Brahma, they are all praying on his behalf, and then the Lord accepts us. So the only way that we can be protected is when the devotees pray for us. So we should always be acting in such a way that the devotees will be compassionate, they will be merciful upon us, and then we will be benedicted. Otherwise our lives become very difficult.
On the same point, when Devataka Swami got sick, we all were praying for him. And Lord Nishim.
Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship. Without hesitation, he has offered his land, the planets, and whatever else he earned by his pious activities, including even his own body. By offering even water, newly grown grass or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from rest? Sharada Radha Mata.
In Bhagavad Gita 9:26 it is said, the Supreme Personality of God is so kind that even unsophisticated person with devotion and without duplicity offers at the lotus feet of the Lord a little water, a flower, a fruit, or a leaf. The Lord accepts it. Then the devotee is promoted to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Brahma drew the Lord's attention to this subject and requested that he release Bali Maharaj, who was suffering being bound by the ropes of Varuna, and who had already given everything, including the three worlds and whatever he possessed.
Mm. So any points here?
The Lord is so kind, he accepts even the little gift he gives to him. But he just needs your love.
Mm.
In Prabhupada Jiva, there was the, this morning also, Karunani Prabhupada sent a daily minister, the pastime of Mr. Sethi, over him. He gave everything for Krishna Prabhupada, just to satisfy the Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that, as you are building home for the Lord here, he is building a home for you in Vaikuntha. And towards the end of his life, he was not initiated. And Prabhupada said, you don't need initiation. You can go back to initiation of Prabhupada because you are surrendering everything.
Whom did he say to?
Mr. Sethi.
Oh, Sethi.
Yeah.
Who was he?
He's, he was a gentleman who helped Srila Prabhupada with the Juhu property. He was in construction and he was very dedicated to Prabhupada.
Okay.
So it's a whole story. You can read the whole story. Very interesting story.
Yeah.
He had like a Kshatriya personality. A very... very powerful personality. So. Any points? So, Krishna becomes indebted when we offer even the smallest thing to him. Bhurujan Prabhu was saying that Krishna says, Patram, Pushpam, Phalam, Toyam. So, Patra means a leaf. So, who do you know when you just give them one leaf, they become so indebted to you? If I walk up to you and give you one leaf, what will you do? But when Krishna gets one leaf, if it's given with bhakti, yome bhaktya priyachchati, when it's given with devotion, then Krishna ashnami means he accepts it. He relishes that offering. So that is the potency of devotional service. Krishna says, patram, pushpam. Pushpa means Krishna speaking in singular sense. He's not even speaking plural. In other words, you just give me one flower. Just hand me a flower. Just like someone gives you one flower. Or someone gives you one piece of fruit. Or gives you just one cup of water. But when it's done with devotion, then Krishna, he relishes that. So that is the power of devotional service. So Bali Maharaj, he has already captured Lord Vamanadeva. Lord Vamanadeva is fully indebted to him because he gave him everything in his possession. He had the whole universe. He gave the whole universe to him. Whereas some people, they have so much, but then they give so little to Krishna. So Krishna is not indebted. Having so much, but then you're only giving a little bit to Krishna, then it doesn't capture Krishna. But whether you're like Kolavecha Sridhar, Kolavecha Sridhar had nothing, but he was giving everything he could to Krishna, or Bali Maharaj had everything, but he gave it all to Krishna, that's what captures Krishna. When we surrender to him. In other words, Atmanivedana means you give everything. That's what Bali Maharaj is teaching. So whether we're poor or rich or whatever our situation is, but we have to give everything to Krishna. That's what captures Krishna. Just like there was Hanuman and there was the squirrel, but both were equally accepted by Lord Ram because they gave as much as they could to Lord Ramachandra. So, any points? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Lord Brahma, because of material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions." Jagannath Ram Prabhu.
A civilization that has become godless because of material advancement and opulence is extremely dangerous. Because of great opulence, a materialist becomes so proud that he has no regard for anyone and even refuses to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The result of such a mentality is certainly very dangerous. To show special favor, the Lord sometimes makes an example of someone like Bali Maharaj, who was now bereft of all his possessions.
What are the points? What's that? Because Prabhupada is saying he is proud. To show special favor, the Lord sometimes makes an example of someone like Bali Maharaj, who is now bereft of all his possessions. What's your point? Yeah, but it means that he's setting an example. Not that Bali Maharaj himself is proud, but Krishna arranges this circumstance to show an example. Like Arjuna was not bewildered, but Krishna covered him in such a way that he looked bewildered so that the pastime could go on. So Bali Maharaj was not proud, but the pastime was constructed in such a way to show this is what we should do. This is the example. So, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, the person who is full of possessions, they will be made an example of by the Lord because he will take everything away. And Krishna states this within the Bhagavatam on several occasions, that when he shows special mercy to someone, everything gets taken away. And we see in the life of Prabhupada said that happened to him. That everything was gradually taken away. When the Lord is especially favorable, he takes away your money, he takes away your family members, he takes away your reputation. Everything gets taken away. Why? So that you have no false ego left. So this is the position of a devotee. Gradually, in due course of time, Krishna takes away all of your pride. Everything that you're proud in, then Krishna will gradually take that away. So you have nothing left except for devotion to Krishna. Because we cannot fully surrender to Krishna until we become Akinchana Gochara. That is mentioned by Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti says, the only person who can chant the holy name sincerely is one who has no material possessions. Which means no attachments in this material world. So in order to release us of our attachments, Krishna deals with us in a particular way, to purify the consciousness.
Isn't Krishna protecting everything that we have? In Bhagavad Gita, he says that I enhance whatever you have and I
preserve what you
carry,
have.
And carry what you lack. So doesn't he protect everything rather than taking it away?
It's up to him how he wants to do it.
So if you are not attached, then you will protect everything. Only if you are attached, then you will take care of it. If you are not attached, you are attached, then you will take
care of it. It's up to him. Mm-hmm. It's up to Krishna how he wants to deal with us. Anything else?
Well, I have a doubt. Mm-hmm. How do we know that if something we lose, it's because of Krishna or because of our foolishness?
Then ask your authority. Who is your guru? So ask your guru and your guru told you. Ask your authority. Anything else?
What about those who have no guru?
You have to have authority, that's the point. You can't make advancement in spiritual life unless you have authority. You may not be initiated, but you have to have some shiksha. You have to have shiksha guru. Everyone has shiksha guru. Otherwise you can't advance as a devotee.
I thought Shri Prabhupada said that nothing happens without the sanction of the Lord. So if you believe in that man, then it can't be a
mental illness. No, you could just be stupid also. Right. Living entity has independence. You can't blame everything on Krishna.
It's not Krishna's fault. It is our karma. It made us do it.
No, nothing. It doesn't work like that. That's not the... While rotating in the cycle of birth and death again and again in different species, because of his own fruitive activities, the dependent living entity, by good fortune, may happen to become a human being. This human birth is very rarely obtained. Lila Maya Radhika, you want to read
them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. Thus, it is not always a fact that a living being lost all opulence is a sign of the Supreme Lord's mercy upon him. The Lord can act any way he likes. He may take away one's opulence or he may not. There are varieties of forms of life, and the Lord treats them according to the circumstances, as he chooses. Generally, it is to be understood that the human form of life is one of great responsibility. Purusha prakriti sohi bhukyante prakriti. The living entity in material nature follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. After thus rotating through many, many forms of life in the cycle of birth and death, the living being gets a chance for a human form. Therefore, every human being, especially one belonging to a civilized nation or culture, must be extremely responsible in his activities. He should not risk degradation in the next life. Because the body will change, tata dehanda prakti, we should be extremely careful to see to the proper use of life is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The foolish living entity declares freedom from all control, but factually he is not free. He is fully under the control of material nature. He must therefore be most careful and responsible in the activities of his life.
So what are the points?
We must be very responsible. Whatever we do, we should be after
considering the pros
and cons. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Human life is very rare.
Any other points?
When Sri Prabhupada establishes Krishna consciousness just for this reason.
Yeah. So this is the position of the living entity in the material world. Every living entity is born in the material world and is overcome by the modes of material nature. And he becomes fortunate when he meets the devotees of Krishna. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasati Pai Bhakti Lata Vija.
So it means that every person is born in ignorance. Brahmanda Brahmite means within the cycle of birth and death. But he becomes Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan means fortunate. You know? When he gets the mercy of Krishna through meeting a guru or meeting the devotees of Krishna. So that is the saving grace of every living entity. All of us are within the material world. Each one of us are forgetful of Krishna. But the good fortune is that we come in contact with the guru and then we understand what is the actual purpose of the human form of life. Because the human form of life is meant to serve Krishna. So the guru allows us to understand that. Therefore, you cannot make advancement without a spiritual master in spiritual life. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Ado Guru Padashraya. Spiritual life begins when you surrender to a spiritual master. Any points? Okay. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favoured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Meenakshi, you like to read it? Because in English they have the same, money is the root of all evil. But money doesn't do anything. Money is just some object. Like in the previous times it was gold, or these days it's some paper notes. So if you put a pile of paper notes on the floor or on the table, that doesn't cause any evil. And it's the consciousness of those who use it. So a devotee will pick up the money and then he will use it in Krishna's service. But the materialist, he will pick up the money and then he will use it for sense gratification. So it is the consciousness of the living entity. So it is not necessary that we give up wealth or we give up material opulence, but it must be used in Krishna's service. That's the point. Queen Kunti says, Janmaishraya Shuta Shribya. So it does not mean that one does not have those things, but a devotee has to learn to not have attachment to those things. Lord Chaitanya is also taught the same thing. Na janam, na danam, na sundarim, kavitam. So, not that we do not have followers or reputation or adoration, profit, distinction, adoration. It's not that the devotee does not have those things. But he sees all those things must be used in Krishna's service. That's very difficult. Because the nature of the living entity, why do we come to the material world? To enjoy separately from Krishna. And then when we get those things often in Krishna's service, still the tendency is to try to enjoy them for ourselves. Even though we have, or when we practice devotional service, wealth comes. People give you dakshina. They give you respect. You get followers. You can get disciples. You get adoration, profit, distinction. But an advanced devotee, then he sees those things are meant to be used in Krishna's service. And that's a test for all of us, because all of us will be offered some respect or some wealth, or we'll get some material facility from bhakti. But a pure devotee, he offers it to Krishna. It's a great test. Because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur warns in the Madhurya Kalambini that devotees can try to ride on the waves of devotion. You're in the ocean of devotional service, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the ocean. And the waves are there, but then you can try to enjoy the waves. It's like you go to the ocean, you try to enjoy the beach. So when you get offered material facility, then the tendency of the conditioned soul is to try to enjoy these things. So that's another impurity or contamination which must be given up. So these are not easy things to give up. Not that. But Krishna is saying that whether you have these things or do not have these things, they must be given up. If you're wealthy, the wealth must be used in Krishna's service. If you do not have wealth, that's also a benediction, because then you don't have so much to be attached to. But either way, everything must be used in Krishna's service. That's what we have to learn. Any points?
King Amrish is the best example.
Yeah, he uses everything in Krishna's service.
Yeah.
Oh, Srila Prabhupada also quoted it somewhere. He was talking about Queen of India. Prabhupada said that you must understand that she is a lot of pious activities. That's why she, somewhere I heard this. Right? I don't know where.
Yeah, I mean, she can't be born in that situation without a great deal of piety. But then it becomes a negative thing also, because then you don't have any privacy whatsoever. It's like a... That's what the material world is like. It's a curse and a benediction. You get wealth, but then you cannot be peaceful from the wealth. Or you get fame, but then you cannot be peaceful from the fame. So that's the nature of the material world. You get material opulence, jama, aishwarya, shruta, shribya, but it doesn't bring peace and satisfaction. That's why the six Goswamis, they tuchtabat. Tuchtabat means they rejected all these things. They were very wealthy, very rich, very prominent, but they rejected it as being insignificant because it distracts one from devotional service. A devotee just wants a simple life. Any points? Okay. We're on 27?
26.
Yeah. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service, because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see that Prabhupada, he had unlimited wealth practically. He would say, I have 108 temples, 10 cars in every temple, thousands of followers, millions of books being distributed, so much wealth was there, but not disturbed by it. When Prabhupada was in, I think it was Mumbai, he was staying in a very wealthy person, life member's house, huge, opulent mansion. And then he went from there, he went to Mayapur, and he stayed in his hut, which you still see when you go to Mayapur at the front of the property. And Prabhupada said, actually, I prefer this to the wealthy situation, the opulent situation. He said, because this is mode of goodness. And he says, Brahmanas, they like to live in the mode of goodness. They like simplicity. That is one of their qualities. So a devotee, we don't like to live in opulent situations. We just like to live in simple situations. Even though we may be very wealthy, but we'll use that wealth in Krishna's service and we'll just live very simply. So Prabhupada was like that. Extremely wealthy, but he did not use the opulence for himself. Just like you see other gurus who are around at the time of Prabhupada, they also had 100 Rolls Royces and they were trying to enjoy their opulence. Whereas Prabhupada, he was not like that. He lived very simply himself. Up here, if you know his room is up here. When he walked into that room, he walked in and he said, all this is for me. Because Prabhupada was very simple at heart. He said, this is all for me. Such a nice room. So Prabhupada did not have that mood of enjoyment. Actually, he preferred just to live very simply. Like in his rooms at Radha Damodar Mandir. Prabhupada was Niskinchana, which means... or Akinchana, which means devoid of material possessions. Very simple. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous among the demons and non-believers, for in spite of being bereft of all material opulences, he is fixed in devotional service. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. So it was not like it was easy what Bali Maharaj went through, no? But he passed the test. That is the point. Same as Prabhupada's Leela. If you look at the Prabhupada Leelamrita, Prabhupada went through so many difficulties. It wasn't easy what Prabhupada went through. But he passed the test. He kept serving Krishna regardless of he did not lose his enthusiasm, his determination. So this is not an easy thing for Bali Maharaj to go through. He's rejected by everyone, he loses everything, but still he stays completely surrendered to Krishna. So that is the consciousness that we have been taught. Atma Nivedanam means full surrender to Krishna, regardless of what takes place. We just stay surrendered to Krishna. The Lord continued, because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the reign of the Manu known as Savarni. Until Bali Maharaj achieves the position of king of heaven, he shall live on the planet Sutala, which was made by Vishwakarma according to my order. Because it is especially protected by me, it is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go and live there peacefully. So when we are with Krishna, then everything becomes auspicious. Regardless of whether we are in heaven or hell. This has been discussed previously in the Bhagavatam. Whether we attain a very opulent situation or a simple situation, a devotee is satisfied and protected. And a devotee always has everything that we need. Krishna always gives us enough to eat. He always gives us a place to stay. We always have shelter. We always have protection. So a devotee does not aspire to have more and more and more material facility. He just accepts whatever Krishna gives him and he serves Krishna. But you'll see in due course of time, if a devotee is pure, then Krishna will give him even material opulence if he desires. Just like we see the example of Sudama Brahmana, right? He went to Dwarka, gave Krishna some chipped rice, and then he received so much opulence in return. So devotees, we should not aspire for those things, but Krishna will give those things if we serve him sincerely. O Bali Maharaj, Indrasena, now you may go to the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. On the planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of the other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. O great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects, along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there. Because there you will see my supreme prowess, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Danavas will immediately be vanquished.
The Lord assured Bali Maharaj of all protection, and finally the Lord assured him of protection from the effects of bad association with the demons. Bali Maharaj certainly became an exalted devotee, but he was somewhat anxious, because his association was not purely devotional. The Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore assured him that his demonic mentality would be annihilated. In other words, by the association of devotees, the demonic mentality is vanquished. Satam prasangam mama vivya samudito bhavanti hirit karana risanam katam. when the demon associates with the devotees, and with devotees engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gradually becomes a pure devotee.
Mm. So, any points?
Answering Madhavi's question earlier about Yogakshema Mahamaya, preserving. So, there, here we see that actually the Lord preserved his opulence because the subterranean heavenly planets have more opulence than the heavenly planets in that sense, from a material point. But at the same time, because he lacked that, it was mentioned earlier that he would, supposedly the past time, he lacked that surrender, then the Lord has also given him that humility. More importantly, the Lord, Lord has given him bhakti at this point in time, which Bali Maharaj, I think, will tell later, that you have given me your devotional, you have given me the, this affection for you. So in one sense, the Lord has kept up that promise. He has given what Bali Maharaj lacked and he has preserved the opulence which he had. Plus, he is also now protecting him from, because the subterranean heavenly planets, then there is less piety, which is what we studied in the earlier cantos. There is opulence but no piety.
Mm-hmm.
So, he is also insulated from that atmosphere in this verse. So, the Lord has given him a solution which is very apt.
Mm. Anything else?
In this text 33, in the translation, they are calling Indrasena. What does it mean?
Sena means like the army. Indra, the king of the army, like Indrasena, like Bhim Sena. That means Bhim and his army. Or Pandava Sena means Pandavas and their army, like that. So Indrasena. So. Okay. So we see here that Bali Maharaj, he is desiring to have devotional association. So each one of us has to also aspire like that for a devotional association, and we have to do whatever is necessary to get that devotional association. So a devotee will always look for the association of other devotees. So even though he's going into a hellish situation, he says, I do not mind going there as long as I get to associate with devotees. So we also should follow that example. Regardless of where we go, we should always look for the association of the Vaishnavas. Okay, so tomorrow we'll continue with chapter 23. And at the end of chapter 24, we're having our exams. So maybe in about 2 weeks' time, the exams will come. 1st of October, the open book exams are due. So please be on time. And please keep up with your fees for the course. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
Enjoy.